Until this year, the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge was a remote bird sanctuary in Oregon that didn't get a ton of visitors. That was until Ammon Bundy and his militia followers went in last January and occupied it. This was part of a protest over federal ownership of Western lands. But the occupation had an unintended effect. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports tourists and new visitors are arriving to the refuge in record numbers.
The Malheur National Wildlife Refuge Visitor Center is still closed. There's only a guard and a padlocked gate here at the entrance, where months ago Ammon Bundy and his armed followers gathered in the snowy sagebrush for daily press conferences. But the rest of this 280-square-mile refuge is once again open, and you're free to explore its maze of back roads and trails. Brendan Quinlan is watching a storm rolling off the 9,000-foot-high Steens Mountain. A large flock of sandhill cranes squawks overhead.
It's something I find is like, it's medicinal. You come out here and just hang out and it's quiet.
Quinlan and his wife arrived after a six-hour drive from Portland only to find the visitor center, its museum and its bookstore closed. But they didn't mind. He used to visit the refuge as a kid with his dad, and it hadn't occurred to him to come back until this year.
We were watching the occupiers on the news. My wife asked, "Where is this place?" And she's a native Oregonian. I said, "You've never been out there." She goes, "No." And I was like, "Oh my God, we have to go." So we planned this year's vacation. So that's what brought us here, those guys.
Long before the refuge became synonymous with the modern American militia movement, the Malheur was known as one of the most important wildlife sanctuaries on the West Coast.
This basin is one of their primary nesting areas, but the lesser...
Well, there are still some lingering security concerns. Chad Cargis manages the refuge for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
We are back in the buildings, but, you know, as far as being operational as a refuge, we're just not there yet.
A lot of the field work is behind schedule, too, and Cargis is short-staffed, even as the refuge itself is experiencing more visitors than it has for years.
I think some of that is people wanting to show their support for the refuge and, you know, conservation efforts, as well as people are just curious about what happened here.
The fact that there's a boon in tourism here is ironic when you consider that the mostly out-of-state occupiers had said they were trying to call attention to how the federal government was hurting the economy in the rural West. Fall weeknight, the campgrounds here are at capacity, and two of the area's old historic stagecoach hotels are sold out. At the French Glen Hotel, guests are swapping stories over a family-style dinner of baked chicken and salads. French Glen gets its name from Peter French, this area's first cattle baron who came up from California in the 1800s. Between bites of dessert, Mary Krinowitz says this remote corner of the country is like a window into the Old West.
It's beautiful country and the most authentic people, and you always never know what kind of wildlife you're going to find.
Now, it's not exactly crowded. A rancher joked to me he's seeing about 20 cars a day instead of the usual one or two. And there's a sense that the spike in business will probably quiet down after the trial for the armed militants ends.
Harney County, you know, got put on the map this year.
Linda Gaynor owns the Narrows Cafe and RV Park. The TV news crews and FBI agents who packed her tables during the 41-day siege have come and gone, and she's happy to see the tourists replacing them, even if some are frustrated that the visitor center isn't open.
I mean, hope it's soon that they reopen. Because then that's just one more thing that gets us back to normal for the community.
Kirk Sigler, NPR News, at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge.